Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly, Mr. and Mrs. America from Flyover Country, are once again bringing you very sober warnings on this September 10th, 2020 broadcast. It is hard to realize that we're now almost 19 years to the day from that horrific time in New York City. Nothing was as it seemed. Police early on reported hearing explosions in the buildings. Building 7 had fallen, we were told by the MSM commentator as we watched the TV. And shortly after the words were spoken, the lie was exposed as Building 7 then fell. We won't have a lot of time tonight to dwell on those events of September 11th, but we would urge you, if you want to know more of the truth underneath things, to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. And go to our archives. First visit the menu, and then push the thing that says Archives, and you can go back a year. You can see what Lou Caverly was telling you last year in September and maybe the year before that. Some of the most important information that he got in spring of 2002, in one day, he did all this research. He went to the newspapers in Pittsburgh, for instance, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he got information that certainly tells us that it is a sham in Shanksville. Every year, this celebration of things that were not really true. The Pittsburgh paper told that bits of people's bodies, debris, their possessions had reached Indian Lake, 6 miles from the so-called crash site. Now, you have to use your brain. And a relative of mine worked in a store, and a person came in and told her he saw the second plane. Another Vietnam War veteran in the area knew that he heard a missile. So you can put all that together. And again, our country's future hangs in the balance right here before this pivotal election. It's so important that you also visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and see the two most recent essays. One of them that I wrote is on the critical race theory. This is a great evil that is going on. It has been covertly going on. Tucker Carlson, on Tucker Carlson Tonight, first talked about this on September 1st, and he interviewed Chris Rufo. Chris Rufo had looked into this kind of a brainwashing that's going on in all of the federal agencies, and it was mandatory. And men, I say men because it's specifically to emasculate men, and we can see why the New World Order wants to weaken soldiers and key government officials so that they're not the strong kind of sturdy, brave-hearted men who went into World War II and accomplished all the things that American soldiers did at that time. So these mandatory training sessions are teaching them that they're committing microaggressions against other races. And you see, this is just the counterpart of BLM, the Marxist group that wants to absolutely destroy America. And so these things have been going on, and they're going on in the big corporations as well, these mandatory training sessions. So Chris Rufo brought this out, and then he said he thought it might be going on in the military. Well, lo and behold, we had quite an update on Tucker Carlson Tonight on September 8th. Chris Rufo returned, and we were able to hear how extensively this critical race theory propaganda has gone into the military. For instance, the Air Force staff held a training session in June, and May 2017, U.S. Coast Guard activities held white fragility seminars. There was at least one of those, and we know that was a very controversial book again. So probably the author of that book, I think it was a woman, probably spoke at the seminar. Then we had NASA their employees were involved. We had an expose article from the Atlantic. Of course, Atlantic is not on our side here in flyover country. Then in 2017, we had the U.S. Navy, and I think there was something like $10,000 given to host this white men and only white men kind of a conference. So this has been going on, you see, for at least 3 years with this critical race theory indoctrination. West Point, the academy, is forcing cadets to read core curriculum books in critical race theory. This is mandatory reading. So again, we can see that these directives, according to Ruffo, are coming from the top military brass. And here's the heart-sinking next expose that he gave, that supposedly the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, is very much in favor of this mindset, and so are the flag officers. This is something that you absolutely need to stop and take note of. This has to change. And if it doesn't change, we're going to have something like Dan Bongino said. Dan Bongino was on Sean Hannity, and this again was on Tuesday evening, and that was September 8th. And he said that Sean, that is to Sean Hannity, you probably played the most important clip of the whole year on your program. And Sean Hannity had just played a video of people in Pittsburgh. Now, we haven't heard too much about Pittsburgh. We've heard about Seattle, Portland, Denver, and, of course, Kenosha. But there were people dining outdoors, and the ruffians and the vandals and the BLM Antifa thugs accosted these people, these ordinary people sitting there eating. Now, we have to remember that Dan Bongino was a hard-nosed cop for many years, and he was part of the Secret Service detail, so he knows whereof he speaks when he says, you think that was something? He said, this thing in Pittsburgh. He said, if President Trump is reelected, this will be nothing more than Sesame Street. In other words, he says that the Democrats plan a coup if Trump wins, and that this street fight will make what we see now Sesame Street. In other words, when we put this all together, if our top military leaders are with the BLM and Antifa, what can we expect? We hope that President Trump will address this. He must cut the head off the snake. He must do it quickly. We know that he has taken some action. There was a headline here, September 8th, Trump seeks to end critical race theory brainwashing in federal agencies. And President Trump said, this is a sickness that cannot be allowed to continue. And Mr. President, we urge you to address this at the highest levels of the military. We know that most military love America, and they have families. They have little children. Some of them are old enough, the generals, to have grandchildren. Some of those retired generals do not want this. They do not want America to go into the chaos of war, civil war, because that's what it will be. And this article that talked about President Trump seeking to end this critical race theory also talked about a two-page memo being sent from the Office of Management and Budget Director, Russ Voigt. I believe that's Vaught or Voigt, V-O-U-G-H-T, that this kind of training and, quote, other propaganda efforts that suggest the U.S. is inherently racist will be stopped. The memo was sent to the heads of federal agencies and other offices because we learned on that first interview that the FBI and the DOJ were some of the agencies who were doing this mandatory brainwashing. And again, I hope you will visit DividedKingdomRadio.com and see my essay, and you will see it under Breaking News. I alluded to the similarities between the Hitler era and what's going on with the critical race theory. So I do think you will want to read that. You will want to tell others about our program quickly. It is time. We're a little Paul Revere program, but what we're telling you is so very crucial. And we must pray like never before. Look at Psalm 64. One night it encouraged me greatly. Read it and pray for our country to repent and pray for President Trump, the good parts of him and his administration, to be strengthened. And now we are going to move on to my colleague. We have danger and deceit everywhere. That's the name of our program tonight. And do remember to tell your friends, your family, your pastors about DividedKingdomRadio.com. And you can point out to them, we had some very vital August broadcasts, one about a live missile in Florida and connections in another company to DynCorp. And they could have had the feasibility to take out Air Force One. There's so much that's important on the vaccines. You do not want to be in vaccine trouble. And I believe that Lou had just told me before we went on the air that AstraZeneca has kind of pulled back, and because it's just too rushed. Whatever other things we say about the vaccines, skipping these trials, these human trials, is not a good idea. So again, you want to send people to hear DividedKingdomRadio.com archives for August 6th, 13th, 20th, 27th, and the extremely important September 3rd broadcast. Lou now takes us all over the map of dangers and deceit with his survey of the latest headlines. Lou?
Yes. We first have some headlines from September the 4th. Most of these came from the Natural News website, naturalnews.com. The CDC asked governors to fast-track permits for coronavirus vaccine distribution. Letters to governors, to state governors, authorized permits to get vaccine out to the public by November 1st. Also authorized were fast-track licenses for new distribution sites. Governors were asked to waive requirements preventing these facilities from becoming fully operational by November 1st, 2020. Geraldo Rivera, on his radio program on August 6th, Geraldo in Cleveland is the name of that program on WTAM. On that program, President Trump said he was optimistic, this is a quote, optimistic that a vaccine would be out in some cases before November 3rd. A few hours later, on the White House South Lawn, he reaffirmed this. In Louisville, Kentucky, the UPS is building a giant freezing facility in which they can hold up to 48,000 vials of vaccine at temperatures as low as minus 112 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ooh.
UPS Healthcare President Wes Wheeler said, quote, this truly will be a historic supply chain feat to distribute millions, if not billions, of life-saving COVID-19 vaccine vials to far-reaching global populations, unquote.
The Bible says the prudent man prepares.
That's right. The FDA, Stephen Hahn, stated that his agency is willing to skip the critical Phase 3 trials for potential COVID-19 vaccines. Hahn clarified that the FDA would issue what is called, quote, emergency authorization, unquote, if it chose to approve a vaccine missing the Phase 3 trials. And Hahn went on to explain this would not be the same as, quote, full approval, unquote. Now we have some continuing on September 4th. More than 2,000 were arrested, including almost 15 homicide suspects in Operation Legend.
And this is a good start. We applaud this, but we need a lot more. We need a lot more.
That's so true. Going on, medical police state tyranny. Australian police smashed down the door of a man and violently arrested him for mentioning anti-lockdown protest. And now we move on to September 5th headlines. U.S. reports first case of COVID-19 reinfection. A 25-year-old Nevada man is the nation's first case of COVID-19 reinfection. This makes the U.S. the fourth country to report COVID-19 reinfection. Just last week, the world's first case of such reinfection was reported in Hong Kong, followed by cases in Belgium and the Netherlands. the young adult, then this is the one in Nevada, first tested positive in mid-April. He got sick again in late May. This time his illness was more serious. Other cases of reinfection, by comparison, were either milder than the patient's initial bout, or in some cases even asymptomatic. It's too early to draw conclusions on the matter. This article stated that based on genetic sequencing, the Nevada man's case was a true reinfection with a slightly different strain than his initial infection. Related information is, scientists say coronavirus has higher affinity for human cells than bat cells. Does this prove it was a laboratory-made virus? According to experts, while cases like that of the Nevada man are rare, it still raises the possibility of being infected a second time around.
And I'm going to interject here to any new listeners. You go back in our archives over the last couple months, and you will hear much documentation from experts that it was a biological weapon. First of all, we had a Nobel Prize-winning AIDS discoverer, Dr. Luc Montagnier. He said that he found parts of HIV fragments in it. We had scientists in India. They said that there were parts of SARS and parts of HIV-type things in it. And we had Dr. Francis Boyle, who helped under the H.W. Bush years to draw up a treaty to stop the proliferation of biological weapons. He said that it was a bioweapon. So Lou and I have been urging all the time not to listen to that part of the patriot community that said, it's just the flu, it's nothing. No, it's something. And yes, we think that the numbers have been fooled with, and lots of things, many false positive tests. All of this doesn't take away the fact that some people are dying. We think about Herman Cain. After the Tulsa gathering for Trump, he died. So we just ask you again to use the common sense your mothers and grandmothers told you. Wear the mask if you're with people. Keep the social distancing going. But let's get right back to these headlines, Lou.
Yes, continuing with a bit more information about this young man in Nevada.
Yes, and I have to interrupt again to say there are many things we just don't know about this. And in our last talk with you, last week's program, we talked about the idea that vaccines can shed. The virus can shed. This can happen with the flu, too. In other words, you might not get it from the vaccine, but you can give it to others for about 2 weeks. So please pray about this information and alert others. There are sheep being led to the slaughter who know nothing about most of these vaccines containing fetal cells, aborted fetal cells. Many Christians do not know this. That one came from a little boy, baby boy, one came from a little girl, and one came from the Netherlands back in the 1970s. So, you know, you need to visit our website. You need to visit naturalnews.com. You need to visit Children's Health Defense, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s website that really, really brings out the truth about autism and vaccines. And we know that there was a huge crowd of people who heard RFK Jr. speak in Berlin about a week ago. And this is a wonderful thing because awareness is growing. Now, what is the part about this man who got it twice, Lou?
Yes, this article in Natural News says that immunity in general doesn't usually vanish quickly, but fades over time. So a second case should be milder because reduced immunity may still be present and prevent a person from getting really sick. Just so, the Hong Kong man initially had a mild case and was even asymptomatic his second time around. But ominously, the Nevada man's reinfection was much more serious after his first bout that cleared up after 10 days. A month later, when he first got sick, that is the second time around, the disease came back and was much more severe. He needed help breathing after his oxygen levels fell dangerously low. As of September 5th, the U.S. has over 6 million COVID cases, more than 183,000 deaths, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. Now we move on to some headlines from September 7th. And Mike Adams was writing this, In natural news, both the president and investors are betting everything is on a fast-track coronavirus vaccine. But what if they're accidentally unleashing a medical time bomb in America? Some of Mike Adams' bullet points. Wall Street hyped by federal money printing, that is federal money printing, and hopes a COVID-19 November vaccine will magically end the pandemic. President Trump actively promoting the vaccine to be released before Election Day. Skipping Phase 3 safety trials may be a recipe for disaster. And Mike Adams says this quote, "This fact is affirmed by none other than the CEO of Pfizer, a major vaccine manufacturer who now warns that skipping the safety trials could end in catastrophe. Albert Bourla has warned of the damage that pushing a vaccine before testing is guaranteed to be safe may be the worst situation for society. Mike Adams underscores the, quote, foolishness of skipping phase three trials, given that no messenger RNA vaccine has ever been approved by the FDA for use in humans.
And we would have to applaud Pfizer's head. What was his name again?
Albert Bourla, B-O-U-R-L-A.
Okay, go ahead.
And Mike says, this means the entire platform is a grand medical experiment with unknown consequences. Early Moderna vaccine trials caused side effects in 50% of study subjects and produced serious injury. Now, that's what the actual study said, serious injury, in 20% of patients in the high-dose group. No being fast-tracked for rapid approval by the Trump administration. If that trend holds, Adams says, out of 100 million Americans, 20 million could be injured by the vaccine. If just one out of 100 serious injuries results in death, we are looking at 200,000 dead Americans. And Mike Adams goes on to say, and this means a fast-track vaccine could kill more Americans than the virus it claims to be halting. It's not difficult to imagine the headlines in the New York Times. And, of course, I'll interject, we all know what the Times thinks of Mr. Trump. So one possible headline in that case might be, Trump's vaccine kills 200,000 Americans. Vaccine apocalypse.
This is nothing that any of us true Christians could ever approve of. We don't want this. This is why our watchman warning voices are coming to you. And we will be struggling because Lou no longer has a teaching job. I think God wants him to concentrate, to focus on this work, because the times are growing more grave with this danger and deceit everywhere. So if you would like to help us, you can send a little cash, a money order. You can make it out to WWCR or leave it blank. You cannot write checks to us personally, but you can write a check to WWCR. You can put a few postage stamps or a little cash and send it to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, and the address is P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. What's next, Lou?
Well, now we have something a little humorous. Our program is Danger and Deceit, but we need a little humor now and then.
Yes, sir, we'd lose our sanity in all
that's
this.
That's right. On September 7th, Black Lives Matter rioters destroy a T-Rex statue in strange and pointless act of vandalism. On the day Jacob Blake was shot, BLM protesters pulled down a statue of a dinosaur outside the Kenosha Dinosaur Discovery Museum. In the midst of all the violence, to cops and cop cars and vandalism to buildings, amidst the nightmare of tear gas and smoke bombs, here we have it. It is a mystery to me, Lou Cavalli, why these genius IQ thugs tore down a statue of a Tyrannosaurus Rex in the name of racial justice.
That is pretty funny, really funny.
And closing out on a more serious note with these headlines, September 8th from Natural News, United Nations forced to admit that vaccines from Bill Gates are spreading polio throughout Africa. A new report by WHO, World Health Organization, a branch of the United Nations, quote, confirms everything we have long been saying about the deadly nature of Bill Gates' vaccination programs in the Third World, unquote. The title of this WHO report was circulating vaccine-derived poliovirus type 2-Sudan. These vaccines are, quote, killing young black lives in places like Chad and Sudan, where outbreaks of the disease are spreading like wildfire, unquote. Media previously referred to it as polio-like illness. After spending some $16 billion over 30 years to eradicate polio, international health bodies have, quote-unquote, accidentally reintroduced the disease to Pakistan, Afghanistan, and also Iran, as the Central Asia region was hit by a virulent strain of polio spawned by the pharmaceutical vaccine, reports 21st Century Wire. Outbreaks also occurred in Ethiopia and India. Cause for concern? A Gates-affiliated group is, quote, testing experimental Wuhan coronavirus vaccines on young blacks without informed consent.
And does it say where they're doing that?
No, I assume.
Is it in Africa also?
I assume it's Africa, but it doesn't say.
And is that the end of your headline?
Yes, that's wrapped
well,
it up.
Well, it's not the end of the medical genocide idea. And we've talked about the population culling plans of the New World Order. Last program, we went into this more, and we just can't get away from this, because here it is again. This is Natural News, August 21st, by Ethan Huff. Medical genocide, UK government pushing for more blacks and minorities to participate in coronavirus vaccine trials. And we have to interject here that the true plan by the elite does not include what some people think the BLM is there for, to really protect black people. No, they are not there to protect black people. We have the eugenics ideal going back to Margaret Sanger and the beginning of Planned Parenthood. And she said ugly things about the Negro race, and that they were sort of like weeds, they should be eliminated. So there's a lot going on that is different from what we hear in the press. For example, the largest abortion center is in Houston, Texas, in the black neighborhood, of course. So here it's no surprise that UK is pushing for more blacks and minorities to participate in these coronavirus vaccine trials. Not enough black and brown people are signing up for Wuhan coronavirus vaccine trials in the United Kingdom, which has prompted the UK Vaccines Task Force to issue a plea for more, quote, diversity in its human guinea pig medical experiments. Ever since it was reported by the mainstream media that ethnic minorities are supposedly more prone to developing complications from the Wuhan coronavirus, Lou, we wonder why that is, too. It was bioengineered.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Was it bioengineered for population control? Then people with white skin. UK authorities have been scrambling to find more minority, quote, representation in the country's vaccine trials. Existing Wuhan coronavirus vaccine trials have already recruited some 100,000 participants, but more are soon on the way as the experts, quote, rove for more, quote, high-risk candidates, including the elderly, the immunocompromised, and people with darker skin. Quote, protecting those at risk is the only way we will end this pandemic, end of quote, announced Kate Bingham, chair of the UK Vaccines Task Force, about how the UK government is specifically seeking out people from black, Asian, and minority ethnic backgrounds. Getting 100,000 volunteers on board is a great start, but we need many more people from many different backgrounds that we can call on for future studies if we are to find a vaccine quickly to protect those who need it. And there's more to this article. UK government now broadcasting ads in Indian languages to recruit more brown human guinea pigs. Had the government of the UK looked closer at the actual data, it would have come to the realization that Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 risk is more a factor of socioeconomic status and employment type than it is about skin color. That's the viewpoint of this writer, and perhaps that writer isn't right. We don't know. But in the age of social justice warriorism, the bandwagon approaches to science has become the norm. Consequently, UK officials are now engaged in a desperate search for more non-whites to get jabbed with experimental chemicals that are being rushed to market as part of President Donald Trump's Operation Warp Speed program to create fast-tracked vaccines for the entire world. According to the Times of India, the British government is actually now putting out ads in Gujarati, Punjabi, and Bengali to try to attract more people of Indian descent to participate in Wuhan coronavirus vaccine trials. Recruiting these groups might be more difficult now that English language media in the U.S. and the U.K. have been blasting out stories claiming minorities are more susceptible to the virus, when what they really mean is that minorities are dying at higher rates than white people, largely because a higher percentage of minorities are in working-class jobs, reports Zero Hedge. And again, we look under the surface. We think it might be more ominous than that. Given liberals' fondness for justifying every wanton decision with science, we're curious about how this attitude evolved, considering that typically racial differences don't impact how a vaccine works in the human body. Again, we must take a little issue with the certainty of what the writer said. Ironically, this effort by the UK to recruit more minority human guinea pigs has the potential to slow the development of a workable Wuhan coronavirus vaccine, which quite frankly will never come to fruition since vaccines are pseudoscience to begin with, especially when targeting viruses. I can't imagine why anyone wouldn't rush to sign up for a trial of an untested, rushed into production vaccine, wrote one Zero Hedge commenter sarcastically. And now, we think about this. The last paragraph of this article says, Big Pharma is rejoicing, wrote another about how there is now, quote, a worldwide laboratory of guinea pigs, end of quote, on whom to test these deadly vaccine chemicals. Quote, when the deadly concoction of chemicals fails, they can just blame it on the COVID, this same commenter added. Before we were getting ready to do this broadcast today, and this is on Wednesday before the Thursday you hear it, I was relaxing and I picked up some magazines that had just come into the home, and I picked up Woman's Day. Of course, it had all the Halloween stuff, which Lou and I never honor anymore. And as I browsed through the magazine, lo and behold, there was an article, and it was urging people. And up at the top of the page, there was a black mother holding her arms around her black daughter. The mother might have been 65. The daughter could have been maybe 45, something like that. And this entire article was how we need to have more people do their patriotic part and sign up for these trials, particularly the COVID-19 vaccine trials. There was a little box at the bottom, and it was urging people that, you know, you can just do your part. You can get into these research trials. But you see, there wasn't any kind of a warning. There was no skull and crossbones on that page that you might be taking poison, you might be taking death into your bodies. But why was this a big hype this month in Woman's Day magazine? And why was the picture of a minority mother and daughter to play on the emotions of the people? We feel so sorry for the minorities who are left in those cities that, and their small businesses have been ravished. Please pray for them. Now, one of the most spiritual key abominations in all of this, the vaccines, COVID, and the others, has to be this use of the aborted fetal cell lines. And now here's Lou with a disconcerting update on the religious people and their attitudes toward all this, the UK bishops.
Catholic bishops in the United Kingdom say congregants must get vaccinated, even when jabs are made with aborted baby cells. A full 15 years after the Vatican issued a statement questioning the morality of getting vaccinated with vaccines made from aborted human fetal tissue, the Catholic Bishops' Conference in England and Wales, CBCEW for short, has issued its own statement suggesting that Catholics have a, quote, prima facie duty to be vaccinated, regardless of the contents of the vaccines. According to these United Kingdom bishops, quote, all clinically recommended vaccinations can be used with a clear conscience, unquote, despite the use of aborted baby cell lines in their manufacture. Bishops Paul Mason and John Sherrington, who are listed on the CBCEW website as lead bishop for healthcare and lead bishop for life issues, respectively, say that while the Church is opposed to the use of aborted human fetal tissue in childhood vaccines, getting jabbed is still important because it supposedly helps to save lives. And then I believe we have something else. Yes. With spirited disregard for God's law, these are my words, by the England and Wales Bishops' Conference, is it any wonder that a spirit of lawlessness and cutting corners has come into being? This headline, the UK to allow emergency use of any effective COVID-19 vaccine. And the subheading, won't wait for licensing if shots meet required safety and quality standards. This is from WorldNet Daily, August 28th. Britain is preparing to revise its laws to allow the emergency use of any effective coronavirus vaccine before it is fully licensed, but only if the shots meet required safety and quality standards. In a statement Friday, Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Conservative government said it was adopting, quote, reinforced safeguards, unquote, to allow the country's medicines regulatory agency to grant temporary authorization of a COVID-19 vaccine provided to meet safety and quality standards. The proposed regulations would allow coronavirus vaccines to receive an emergency approval, allowing people to be immunized while the full licensing process is being finished. Typically, vaccines are only used after the licensing process concludes.
And we know that Satan's hatred of the Jewish people is well illustrated in the Holocaust years. So we think it is exceedingly strange, to put it mildly, the advice of a Jewish TV doctor commentator. It's almost as weird as the true story of a teenage George Soros being a helper to the Nazis rounding up his fellow Jews. And this was August 12th, Natural News. Fox News doctor wants unvaccinated children to wear yellow badges, just like Jews had to wear yellow stars in Nazi Germany. Dr. Mark Siegel, a regular contributor at Fox News, is back in the news again for making outlandish suggestions concerning mandatory vaccinations. Siegel reportedly told Tucker Carlson the other day that children who do not get vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, should wear a yellow pin, indicating that they are not to be hugged for alleged safety reasons. Similar to the infamous yellow star patch that Jews had to wear in Nazi Germany, the yellow pins that Siegel believes are necessary accessories for unvaccinated children contain the words, "No hugs, please," with a red line slashed through them. The pin is basically a warning to others that the child wearing it has not been jabbed with big pharma chemicals and is thus an unsafe individual who should be avoided, shunned, and deprived of normal human affection. Quote, here's what hugs, please, end of quote, Siegel explained to Carlson, who glared back at him with that iconic disapproving look. Now, if you look at this pin, Tucker, it looks like something you might remember. No smoking, please. Let's give our kids all of these pins. No hugs, please, sadly. But I'm going to say this with this pin or shirts. No hugs, please. We're going to get 26 candidates for a vaccine coming out in the clinical trials right now. According to Siegel, once these vaccines, quote, emerge, society will finally be able to, quote, beat this thing, and then the pin is going to go in the garbage, end of quote. Until that time, all children should be avoided, according to Siegel, and those who do not get these future Wuhan coronavirus vaccines will have to be avoided forever while they walk around branded as untouchables. Once everyone gets vaccinated, Siegel contends, society can go back to normal and, quote, we're going to all hug each other. But this is a contingent upon everyone getting vaccinated and parents showing their children, quote, courage by leading the way. They're looking to parents for leadership, Siegel trailed off during his rant. Leadership says, open the schools whenever we can, Tucker. After Siegel was finished, Tucker responded quite simply with, I don't know if I can go there. I'm a hugger. Sorry. The whole thing almost seemed like some kind of parody. Were it not for Siegel's extensive history of trying to force people to get vaccinated through bizarre and authoritarian means, just last year, Siegel appeared on Fox News to declare that people who refuse vaccines should be prosecuted and put in jail, including doctors who issue vaccination exemptions to young children. Fox has repeatedly published hit pieces and aired hit segments against those who question vaccine safety and effectiveness. Using terminology like anti-vaccination propaganda and anti-vaxxer hysteria to denigrate parents who dare to dig a little deeper down the rabbit hole. And I'm going to interrupt this article to just remind listeners that the UN itself, early in the year of 2020, I think maybe it was January, some of their leading scientists came out to say, making a statement that they questioned the safety of vaccines, particularly the adjuvants that are put in the vaccines. And those are substances and chemicals and other things to make the vaccine more powerful. One of those would be squalene. And it was somewhat indicated as the potential harming agent in the Gulf War syndrome when the troops had to get the vaccines, the mandatory, like the anthrax vaccine. So you see, this is an issue that you must research carefully if you care about your children. Back to the article, nature would already have beaten this virus if power-mad and money-mad globalists had allowed it, wrote one national file commenter. Quote, the creepy little yellow badges from the creepy so-called medical expert are a morbid sign of the times. And I think we're ready to move on there to Lou.
Yes.
Oh, no, we're not.
No.
There are two lines left. The doctor is a Jew, wrote another about Siegel. I wonder how his relatives felt walking around Nazi territory with their badges on. Massively stupid move.
Yes, and you can get more information from our September 3rd program on this Hill topic. If you want to hear that program, you can go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, go to the menu, and under the archives, find the date for that program. Again, that's September 3rd. You'll hear us talk about the real dangers that Natural News discusses of a COVID-19 or other virus shedding for 2 weeks or so after the injection, possibly infecting others. Now, here's another aspect of danger in the science of coronavirus. The title reads, Getting Vaccinated for Coronavirus Could Make the Pandemic Worse. This was by Ethan Huff in Natural News, Friday, August the 28th of this year. Until a Wuhan coronavirus vaccine becomes publicly available, some government officials have indicated that they want to keep everything under indefinite lockdown. But a vaccine could end up making the pandemic even worse, according to Anthony Fauci. In case you missed it, Fauci is on record as having stated in the past that earlier vaccine candidates for other coronaviruses produced a, quote, suboptimal response, unquote. He went on to explain that they actually, quote, enhanced pathogenesis of the disease, which is always worrisome, unquote. The Citizens Council for Health Freedom, CCHF, in Minnesota has issued an urgent plea calling on government officials and health authorities to take note of Fauci's words in addressing current vaccine policy. The group has said, as reported by WorldNet Daily, quote, first, there is no guarantee a COVID-19 vaccine will work. And second, it could backfire, strengthening the virus. It was on May 12th that Fauci warned about, quote, two major unknowns, unquote, concerning a vaccine for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, which for all intents and purposes is little more than a mutated cold virus. Says Twyla Brace, RN, president and co-founder of CCHF, quote, I think we should very carefully listen to Dr. Fauci's concerns. No coronavirus vaccine has been developed despite earlier coronavirus pandemics, unquote. While it would normally take years for a newly developed vaccine to come to market, President Donald Trump has promised fast-track vaccines for the Wuhan coronavirus. The American public, and this is also a quote from Ms. Brace, the American public should be concerned about the possibility that a COVID-19 vaccine may backfire. A case in point was the infamous SARS pandemic of 2012. The global spread of this earlier iteration of coronavirus was used as an excuse to try to develop a corresponding vaccine, a project that utterly crashed and burned. Test mice that were given the experimental jab appeared to develop some antibodies, but they also got sicker than the other mice that were not treated with the vaccine. CCHF says, quote, researchers discovered the mice who were believed to have developed antibodies and actually gotten sicker. The study concluded the vaccines had made the coronavirus more virulent and issued caution in proceeding to application of SARS-CoV vaccine in humans. Despite all the vaccinated mice developing antibodies, injection with the vaccine resulted in the occurrence of what is known as Th2-type immunopathology, which suggests hypersensitivity to the components included in the SARS jab. Since there is no evidence...
And that could be the adjuvants again.
Yes, it sounds that way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Since there is no evidence whatsoever that any Wuhan coronavirus vaccine will be safe or effective, the plan, at least at Yale University, is simply to guilt and shame resistors into getting jabbed. A study conducted by Yale concluded that the best way to enforce compliance is to call those who refuse the vaccine, quote, not brave, unquote, and to further suggest that they are selfish and do not, quote, trust in science.
Now, Lou, here's a parallel you see in that brainwashing of the critical race theory in the agencies of the government, telling the men that they're less than worthy if they commit any microaggressions. This is demeaning. This is emasculating. This is a satanic tool to rob us of the strength of our men here in America.
Yes, that's exactly right. Going on, in contrast to firefighters, doctors, and frontline medical workers, all of whom are, quote-unquote, brave, according to Yale, vaccine resistors are cowards. This negative label representing a tool that the vaccine pushers hope will compel more people to get vaccinated. Brace says, quote, despite the danger of the vaccine backfiring, and before any of the vaccine trials have proven a vaccine to be safe and effective, proponents are busy figuring out how to force the public to get vaccinated. Proponents want the unvaccinated banned from airplanes, buses, or trains, and want everyone to provide evidence of immunization to enter public and private auditoriums and spaces. But Americans should be concerned about these proposals, this vaccine, and those who wish to plunge it into their arm. People have no idea what they're signing up for with this vaccine.
And then we have breaking. Virginia's State Health Commissioner, Dr. Norman Oliver, declares forced coronavirus vaccines for all Virginians. And this, again, is Natural News by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, August 21st. If you're keeping track of criminal, lawless medical tyrants who are looking to mass murder human beings with experimental vaccines, add Dr. Norman Oliver to that list. He's the State Health Commissioner of Virginia, and he has just declared that he's going to force vaccinate every single person in Virginia with a coronavirus vaccine. Since all the vaccines are skipping long-term trials in a rush to market, forcing every citizen to be injected against their will is actually a violation of fundamental human rights, as established under the Nuremberg Code of 1947, which prohibits medical experimentation on human beings. Dr. Norman Oliver, it seems, wants to add his name to the dozens of U.S. scientists and doctors who have already been criminally prosecuted for crimes against humanity. If we develop a vaccine that can prevent it from spreading in the community, we will save hundreds and hundreds of lives, Dr. Oliver told ABC 8 News. Of course, he neglects to calculate how many hundreds or thousands of citizens in Virginia would be harmed or killed by forced vaccinations. Nor does he acknowledge any basic human right to say no to an unsafe, experimental medical intervention. The vaccine, it turns out, may very well kill more people than the coronavirus itself. Dr. Oliver says he will only mandate vaccines that are, quote, proven to be safe, but he's being deceptive, knowing that the entire medical establishment is utterly corrupt and will declare any vaccine safe if it earns sufficient profits for people in power. If there's one thing COVID-19 has exposed, it's the utter fraud, corruption, and criminality of the CDC, FDA, WHO, and science journals like The Lancet, all of which have conspired to deprive the American people of safe and effective treatments such as hydroxychloroquine, while pimping dangerous, unproven experimental vaccines such as the new mRNA vaccine from Moderna. And I will interject that the Woman's Day issue that I looked at this afternoon was talking about recruiting these people to take part in these trials for that very thing, the mRNA vaccines. Back to Mike Adams, it's all about profit and power, not public health. And if Dr. Oliver isn't smart enough to see the corruption right in front of his eyes, he's not qualified to be the state health commission for any state commissioner. That should be, that's not my error, then a state of insanity. As ABC 8 News says, Oliver believes that in the case of COVID-19, public health takes precedent over choice. But this is misleading. Mandatory vaccines don't achieve public health. They achieve medical violence and coercion, though, which seems to be the real plan of Dr. Oliver. And the most fundamental principle of Western medicine, as described by the American Medical Association, is the concept of informed consent, which means no doctor should force any medical intervention on any person without their consent. But if you're going to force toxic, dangerous injections onto a population, it's important to disarm them first so they can't defend themselves against the tyranny of the medical police state, hence the need for attacking the Second Amendment in Virginia. Not a coincidence that Virginia Governor Northam tried to abolish the Second Amendment in Virginia before this vaccine mandate was announced. Isn't it interesting that in nearly every city, state, or nation where mandatory vaccines are being pushed, treasonous bureaucrats tried to take away citizens' firearms first? It's not a coincidence. This is how genocide works. First, they take your guns away so you can't defend them yourself. Then they send in the euthanasia teams who pretend to be administering vaccines. Quote, vaccines. Anyone who resists is taken to a FEMA camp or labor camp internment place or execution. This is a plan that's being rolled out across America. It all kicks into full action once the vaccine becomes publicly available, at which time tyrannical states like Virginia will go door-to-door vaccinating citizens at gunpoint and arresting people who refuse to serve as human guinea pigs for Big Pharma's outrageously unsafe vaccine experiments. Now, Lou and I would point out that this is not necessarily going to happen, because we have people who will stand up for their Second Amendment rights. We have people who are going to pray to stop this. But it's important that Mike Adams' warning is taken seriously. He goes on, no doubt Governor Northam will receive generous kickbacks from the vaccine manufacturers, just like legislators in California routinely receive. Understand that any bureaucrat who tries to take away your guns probably deserves to be confronted by armed citizens. That's the whole point of the Second Amendment, not to shoot deer, but to stop tyrants. And when tyrants try to destroy your right to self-defense while plotting to commit medical violence against your body through the use of forced vaccines, they are descending to the very definition of tyranny that our founding fathers sought to keep in check with the Bill of Rights. You have the right to self-defense. You are born with it as a gift from God. It is not granted by the state, and it cannot be nullified by any government. That right includes defending your body against a medical assault with a potentially deadly substance, which includes all vaccines. If Dr. Oliver attempts to assault you with a vaccine, you have every right under Virginia law and U.S. law to deploy tools of self-defense to halt that attempted violence and prevent that attacker from committing a felony assault against your person. soon, the state of Virginia will come to learn that you can't assault citizens with vaccine violence without facing blowback from an armed citizenry. Prepare, fellow Virginians, and we would add, all Americans, to fight for your lives against the vaccine-wielding medical police state that wants you disarmed or dead. They will stop at nothing to take away all your rights and make you a slave of the big pharma-run medical fascism state of Democrat-infested Virginia. If you surrender to their demands, you will lose your liberty and your life. They might even deliberately administer more deadly vaccines to rural areas of the state in the hope of killing off as many patriots as possible. And, of course, this admonition to defend yourself goes along with the idea that if the soft coup ever becomes a real coup before or after the election, you again have your Second Amendment rights. They're very much under attack right now. Look at Mark and Patricia McCloskey trying to defend their own home in St. Louis and charged. Look at Kyle Rittenhouse. You'll want to go again and see my essay about Kyle Rittenhouse, brave 17-year-old, at DividedKingdomRadio.com. It's an important essay, and we didn't have time tonight to answer this question. Pathetic. Why is the National Rifle Association silent on the Kyle Rittenhouse case? Their silence is deafening. We didn't have time to talk about that, but we also know that Gun Owners of America has taken a little stand on this. So we have to watch out. A lot of these organizations are sold out. They're not really there for people in flyover country. Lou, do you have a headline on that about the Gun Owners of America?
I believe I do.
Maybe just give us a sentence or two out of that.
Yes, we have that here.
And next week,
see if I can
we'll be getting
quickly.
More into a lot of this tyranny and vandalism and looting in the cities.
Yes, here I have it. The headline reads, Gun Owners of America Comes to Kyle Rittenhouse's Defense. And we will try to give you that entire article.
And were they getting
week.
Lawyers ready, I think, something?
Yes, and that's right. Let's see. Gun Owners of America has reached out to Rittenhouse's attorneys and the Lake County Public Defender's Office. And we have our own attorneys and use of force experts looking into this case as well.
And that was Larry Pratt, good old Patriots organization. I think this is his son now. That is it, Eric Pratt?
I do not see a name there. Oh, yes, Vice President, Senior Vice President Eric Pratt. He issued the statement.
So we need to pray for all these true patriots like Jack McClam's template suggested. He was, I think, the original officer friendly. And we heard someone there in Laurie Lightfoot's badly besieged Chicago. He was a good policeman, and he said he had always been like officer friendly. And I thought of that dear Jack McClam. We have a legacy from those patriots, and we must live up to our duties. God bless you, and good night.